you to turn into your Bibles to actually the book of Ezra, first and foremost. Ezra chapter 7, and we're going to be looking at verses 9 and 10 as a way of introduction of what we're going to be looking at. I mean, today we're going to end the book of Nehemiah as a scripture reading, as far as we'll be covering specifically verse 8, Nehemiah chapter 8. But before then, I want to kind of lay out a little bit of the background and what we need to see, first and foremost, again, just from Ezra chapter 7, because of what we're seeing in Nehemiah 8, it's Ezra, who is a scribe and a priest that is going to be laying out the truth of the Word of God. And really, the things that we need to see from this character in the Bible is what I really believe that we need for going into 2021, as we'll lay out, again, the vision and direction that the Lord has laid on my heart. I really think it's a simple vision, but, you know, one that we could say that we would need every year, obviously, but I think even more so as we have come through 2020, and again, we're still dealing with the same circumstances going into 2021, as far as dealing with everything we experienced as far as COVID and shutdowns and things like that. I think of this, what we need to see here for the vision for our church and for individual Christians is what we're going to see from Ezra. But I want you to start off in Ezra chapter 7. And again, I want to give you a little bit of the context of just, this is a time when you have the nation of Israel. They've been in captivity for over 70 years, and then they had an edict from, again, the superpower at the time, the Persian Empire, Cyrus the king, to have the nation of Israel to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And you see that happening in the book of Ezra. And what you have is actually Ezra deals with leading people back as far as establish the worship in the temple. And that's what you see with Ezra. But I want you to notice in Ezra chapter 7, I'm going to pick it up in verse 9 and down through verse 10. It says this, "For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him." Well, why did that happen? Why was God's hand upon him and making him prosperous and leading the people back from Babylon to Jerusalem? Because of what it says in verse 10. It says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Verse 10 itself is an awesome message. I mean, it really clearly lays itself out in three different points and aspects, of which I think is pertinent for us even today. You see that, first of all, that Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. He just didn't come to the Word of God and just, you know, open it up and start going. I mean, he prepared his heart. He wanted to be able to understand, to be able to receive what the Lord was saying to him, but then to be able to apply the Word of God. It says to do it. So it wasn't just a reading and a studying of the Word of God. It doesn't matter, actually putting it into practice. And once he did that, then was he really qualified and really had the authority to do the third thing that it says in verse 10, which is this, to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. And it's really a metric that we need to follow today, that we prepare our hearts when we seek the Word of God. When we come to the Word of God, that we're prayed up, we're ready to actually listen to what the Lord would have us to understand, and then to be able to do it. All right? Well, there's no way we can really have the authority to teach the Word of God if we're not doing the Word of God. And you see that in the order as far as how Ezra lays it out. Now, Ezra, he is a priest for the nation of Israel, and he's also a scribe. That means his life was dealing with the study of the Word of God, and as well as the service of him. And it's like, I wanted that as a background to understand what we're going to get into in Nehemiah. And I do want you to go there right now. Go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Now, Kurt did our scripture reading, and this is what we read, verses 1 through 8. And I just want to kind of come through again and set the context of what we're going to see in verse 8 of Nehemiah chapter 8. You have the whole nation of Israel coming together to be able to hear the Word of God. Let's pick it up in verse 1. It says this. It says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel." Now, this is awesome. I mean, there's all kinds of imagery here because they're in front of the water gate. There's different gates within the walls dealing with the nation of Israel, and the water gate is really a picture of the Word of God. Water in the Bible is a picture of the Word of God. I mean, there's many different things that picture that, but water is one of them. So they're standing before the water gate. And what's interesting, it's the people. They gather themselves together as one person, and it was the people that asked Ezra to be able to get the law of the Lord, when you see it in verse 8, which is interesting. I mean, man, it's like that's awesome when you want to have, I mean, the people are like, hey, we want to hear the Word of God. Alright? Their heart is for hearing the word. And so Ezra again brings the law of the Lord. Now pick it up in verse 2. It says, "And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month." That is a significant time. That's a Sabbath day for the nation of Israel. I know we always think the Sabbath day is the Saturday or the seventh day of the week, but there's other Sabbaths or feasts that the nation of Israel celebrate, and this was actually a feast of trumpets, a blowing of trumpets, in the seventh month on the first day of the month. So when they're doing this, it's a significant time that this is all taking place. And you see that everybody that could understand the word were gathered together. All right, verse 3. It says, "And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law." Now there's two things I want you to understand here in verse 3. One, you guys should never complain about how long I preach. From morning to midday, he was in the Word, all right? So I should never hear any complaints about that. But second of all, notice what it says at the end of verse 3. It says, "All the people were attentive unto the book of the law." They were active listeners, all right? When I was doing some online training, I decided to do one that was dealing with communication, especially knowing what I was going to preach this morning. But one of the main things to talk about in good communication is somebody being an active listener, listening to somebody and what they're saying before you ever jump in or give your opinion or what you think. You're actively paying attention and listening to them. Well, the nation of Israel, all they can understand, they were attentive to the book of the law. They wanted to hear the words of God. You move on to verse 4, it says, "And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood," the only time the word pulpit is mentioned in the Bible, and it is made out of wood, it says, "which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Messiah on his right hand, and on his left hand, Pediah and Mishael and Melchiah and Heshem and Heshbanana, Zechariah and Meshulam." I got to say, every time I read the word Heshbanana, I just think of banana. And I say, I'm not the only one. It just seems like he had some appeal to his life, I bet. Bad dad joke, but I had to do it. Anyhow, in verse 5 it says, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground." And one of the things to understand from verses 5 and 6 is you see a tremendous respect for the Word of God. Really, this is where we get the whole idea that when we read Scripture, all right, together as a congregation, what do? We stand up. It's a matter of respect, of understanding that this is God's Word. All right, and the humility that they have in bowing their head and worshiping God as they're coming to Him just reading the words of God. There is that respect for it. And it's like, if there's anything that our world needs to get back to today, is understanding that the Word of God is the Word of God. And that we respect it and understand that this is not the words of men. This is not just somebody that threw something together. These are the very words of God that He's given us to be able to live our life by. And there's such a lack of respect of the Word of God these days, and I would say even among Christians. It's like we really don't spend the time like we need to in the Word of God. Well, here in this situation, you have everybody in Israel that are coming back from the captivity that had understanding, that they could understand, were together as one person in the street that was before the water gate, ready to hear the words of God. And then you move on to verse 7, it says this, "Also Jeshua and Bene, and Sherebiah, and Jamin, and Akab, and Shebathiah, Hodijah, and Meshaiah, and Kelita, Ezariah, Jozabed, Hanan, Peleliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place." So you have a group of people that were with Ezra, helping him to teach and preach the Word of God. You had a list in verse 4. You have a list there in verse 7. If you count up all those names, those are 26 people that are helping Ezra to be able to disseminate the truth of the Word of God. But not only that, in verse 6 it says also the Levites. If you go back to, and I do want you to do this because it's close by, I want you to go back to Nehemiah chapter 7. and look in verse 43. Because then you get the number of the Levites that are also with him. In Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 43, it says this: the Levites, the children of Jeshua, of Kadmiel, and the children of Hodavah, 70 and 4. So when we talk about the Levites that were there with them, there were 74 of them. You have 26 of the other people that are mentioned in back in chapter 8 in verses 4 and verse 7. So that, quick little math, that's 100 people. So as Ezra is before the water gate, and they bring him the law of God, and he has the pulpit of wood, and he's there ready to teach the word of God, it's not just him. Yes, he is a priest, he is a scribe, he is the leader there, but he has 100 other men that are there to help him teach the word of God. It's not about Ezra doing it by himself, it's a group of people that are preaching and teaching the word of God. And how do we know that? Because let's get to our text, actually, in verse 8, Nehemiah 8:8. I love the number 8. 8 in the Bible is the number of new beginnings. As we end 2020 and having a new beginning into 2021, and looking at the vision for God that He has for us, this is what it's all about. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8, it says this: so they. It does not say so he, as in singular, as in Ezra alone. It says, so they, all 101 of them. And they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. Here's what we need to see today. In verse 8, there's three things that we're going to lay out. We're going to lay out communication, explanation, and then application. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see today out of God's Word. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you that you brought us to this point. It's our last Sunday in 2020. And the launch pad of what we're getting ready to go into the 2021 of next week. Lord, there's a lot that needs to be accomplished in 2021. Not forgetting what we have learned this past year and our growth that we need to have in our relationship with you. And I pray that everyone that's listening to this message can look back on 2020 and say, despite of all the struggles and the things that we have dealt with this year, that we have grown in our walk and relationship. Grown to the place that we're able to start tackling what you would have for us in 2021. This past year has been a time for introspection, an inward look of where we're at with you and our walk with you. But 2021 is very much a vision of not only looking inward, but outward. How can I help others learn the truth of your word? Father, I pray that you help us to understand everything that we need to see in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. As we embark on a new beginning, a new year, Lord, help us to understand what you have for us individually and collectively as a church. Help us to understand what it is that is being communicated here, what's being explained and expounded in the Word of God, and how we need to apply it to our life. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we go back to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. It says this in the first phrase. It says, so they read in the book in the law of God distinctly. I want to define for you that word distinctly. It literally means to separate. It's to be clear, plain, unambiguous. It's taking the truth of the Word of God and making sure that when you are preaching and teaching the truth of the Word of God, that you do it in such a fashion that everybody is able to understand what is being read, understand what is being taught, understand what is being preached. To be very clear and plain, unambiguous, that there's no doubt of what the Word of God is saying. If somebody doesn't have an understanding, that you're giving them an understanding, you're making it distinct, clear for them, you're separating things out so they can grab a hold of it. I'm reminded, as I'm even talking about it, it's like, you know, of years of teaching karate, especially to kids. There's some kids that you can show something really quick to them, they pick it up just like that. But then there's other kids that they're not able to understand, even adults, they don't quite have it down, and you have to break a move down to its very distinct, separate, individual moves for them to get it, to understand it. Well, that's the same thing that we need to be doing as Christians with the Word of God. And from the get-go, I want you to understand, it does not matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter if you just got saved yesterday. I mean, God wants all of us to participate in being able to teach the Word of God for what you understand, that you're able to lay that out to somebody else. To be just like Ezra. Prepare your heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach. That is not something that is just for people that have been saved for a long time. To be quite honest, there's people that have been saved for a long time, but they haven't grown in the Word of God, so they're still no different than somebody who just got saved yesterday. The point I'm trying to make is, do not from the get-go have this idea that there's no way I can teach somebody the Word of God. Get that out of your mind, because that is just a lie from the pit of hell. All right, all of us can understand the Word of God to be able to teach somebody else. We just got to allow God to show us and to teach us so that we can turn around and do the same. Now, also think about this word distinctly, to separate out. Again, I know you know the reference, and I know a lot of you have it memorized, but I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Because when we understand this word distinctly, being able to lay out the truth of the Word of God, it's all about rightly dividing the Word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Paul is telling Timothy, again, giving him this charge as he's a pastor of the church of Ephesus, and Paul's getting ready to pass off the scene. He tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Separating it out, distinctly giving people the understanding of what the Word is all about. That's how we need to study, and it is being a workman. It takes some work, all right? When you study for any kind of class or any kind of situation or something at work, it takes some work involved in studying things out. Well, we need to come to the Word of God that way as well. It's not just reading the Word of God, but actually studying the Word of God. Why? So that we can do it ourselves and then be used of God to be able to teach others. Now again, in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8, again, I just want to read it before we move on to another cross-reference here, but again, in Nehemiah, help me if I be a Nehemiah, not Ezra, Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8, it says, "So they read in a book in the law of God distinctly." Again, saying that what we are supposed to do, but I want to give you an example of somebody that does not do that in a certain sense, and that is Moses. I want you to go over to 2 Corinthians real quick, chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, Moses was the lawgiver. He's a picture of Christ. He was a mediator between the nation of Israel and God. And Moses did a lot of great things, had a great testimony. But there are some things that Moses didn't do right. And we can learn from the bad example, and this happens to be one of those cases. All right, we talk about reading distinctly. It means to be plainly laying out the truth of the Word of God. I want you to notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to pick it up in verse 12 and read down through verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. And the context is dealing with the difference between the Old Testament of the law as opposed to, again, being under grace. But notice what it says here, starting in verse 12. It says, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech." I mean, very clear, easy to be understood. Now, again, I'm not going to take the time before we move on here and bash certain people or professors or teachers or anything like that, but it wouldn't take long to maybe turn on the TV or listen to the radio sometimes, and you get some preachers that feel like they got to use all these huge, big words that really nobody understands to be able to preach and teach the Word of God. And I made comments about this before, like if I use the word exegesis. I mean, the word sounds like Jesus is leaving the place. Jesus is out of the building. Exegesis. Now, but exegesis deals with, again, the understanding of the Scriptures, the interpretation of Scripture. And it's like, wouldn't it be easier just to say, hey, this is what the Word of God means, as opposed to, let me give you the exegesis of Nehemiah chapter 8. And like, the exo what? You know? It's still like, you know, I've got this education, so I've got to use all these big college-type words. I mean, I'm not downing college or university or anything like that. Learn. I don't care. Learn all you can. But make sure the Word of God is the foundation, and you run everything that you learn through the Word of God to see what is true and what is not. But it's like, that is a pride thing, to be honest with you. Look how much have I learned because of these words that I know that you don't know. Or, you got to understand. If you really want to understand the Word of God, you got to understand. You got to go to the Greek and the Hebrew. Hear that all the time. You got to get back to the original languages if you really want to get the true meaning of the Word of God. Here's what that means. You either need to study your Bible with a strong concordance, Or you need to, I guess, find a church where you have a pastor that understands Greek and Hebrew, and that's the only way you're really going to understand Scripture. And what does that mean? It means that you have somebody in between you and your relationship with God. The only way I can understand the Word of God is I've got to have a pastor that understands Greek and Hebrew. Does that make sense? No. God is about the common person, has a hard attitude with wanting to learn the Word of God, to apply the Word of God, and to teach the Word of God. All God needs is a person with a hard attitude that believes His Word. Seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Let me get down on your level and get it to where you can understand exactly what the Word of God is saying. But notice what it says in verse 13. Interesting enough, because 13 in the Bible is a number of rebellion, doing that which is against God. It says, and not as Moses. Paul's talking about using great plainness of speech, but he's giving you an example of a time where Moses did not quite do what he was supposed to do. It says, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel cannot steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. In other words, here's the context. When Moses went up to meet with God and spent 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai and getting the law and so forth and the understanding of the tabernacle and putting it all together, worship, and it's the time that he spent with God, his face started glowing. And when he came down off the mountain, he didn't even know that his face was glowing. But the nation of Israel was like, oh, whoa, what's going on here? And they were afraid. And so what does Moses do? He puts a veil over his face, hiding that glory. That time that he spent with God. And he hid it from them, and that's what he was not supposed to do. The nation of Israel needed to look to see what the law was going to, and understand the glory that was going to be in everything and having a relationship with Christ. But Moses put a veil over that and stopped that. Now, when he went into the Lord, he took the veil off. But as soon as he went back and dealing with the nation of Israel, he put the veil on, and that's what he was not supposed to do. Now look, folks, there are too many of us as Christians that we're doing the same thing that Moses is doing. We understand the great hope that we have in Christ, but when it comes to our co-workers or maybe other family members or people in a neighborhood, whatever the case is, we put a veil over our face so they can't see the truth of the Word of God. That is not what we're supposed to be doing. If there's anything that our country and our world needs right now, is for Christians to actually be the light that is reflected in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word. Through His Word. I want you to go back to Nehemiah chapter 8. Importance of dealing again with the communication of the Word of God. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, it says, so they, not just Ezra, but 100 other people with him, so they read in a book and a law of God distinctly, clearly, plainly, unambiguously, separated things out so people could understand it clearly. And it says the next thing, and gave the sense. In other words, talk about dealing with the sense. What does that mean? It means knowledge, intelligence, giving the sense. So they actually could understand exactly what the Word of God is saying. Now this is important because the Word of God is a spiritual book. Right? It's not a natural book. It's not a man-made book. It is a spiritual book. And the only way it's going to be understood, and we understand, is through the Spirit of God. We'll look at a reference for that in a second. But it's like we need to give the sense, give an understanding of what's being talked about. I'm sure all of you have experienced, and I've experienced it way too many times, of being in churches and listening to preachers and pastors preaching, and they will take a verse, and then they will talk nothing about that verse whatsoever. They have their own message. They have what they want to communicate. And they need to just go to the Bible and see if I can find some verse that loosely maybe fits the subject that I want to talk about. And they'll read the reference and they'll never come back to the reference. They got their notes, they got everything they want to say, but they never actually give the sense of what they have just read. It's like you walk away and it's like, well, why do we even read that verse? Because that verse has nothing to do with what you're talking about. Help me understand why you are reading what you're reading. What does it mean? And that's why, in the church, that's why I preach the way that I preach. Expositionally, going from verse to verse and laying something out, or phrase by phrase, or word by word sometimes. This is what the Word of God says. Not my opinion, not what I think. Here's what the Word of God says. Give the sense of what's being talked about. A lot of times people go, I don't understand the Bible. A lot of times it's the leadership's fault because they don't give the sense of what the Word says. I should not come with a message and then try to find a verse in the Bible to fit it. I should read and study the Word of God, apply the Word of God, and then teach what God has shown me in His Word, verse per verse. You want to know a great example of somebody who did that? Jesus Christ. I want you to turn over to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 24. Last chapter in the Gospel of Luke. This is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have these two men that were on their way to Emmaus, and they were discussing everything that just took place, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He was buried, and it was the third day, and they knew that they heard that Jesus Christ was supposed to rise from the grave, but they didn't know what was going on, didn't understand everything that was happening. And all of a sudden, the Lord Himself, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, comes and joins the conversation. Now, again, the Lord kind of held back their eyes so they couldn't immediately understand and see that this was Jesus Christ that was talking to them. They decided it was some guy. But I want you to notice what the Lord says. I want you to look at it in Luke chapter 24. And first of all, we're going to pick it up in verse 25. After He's been listening to their conversation and everything that's going on and the hubbub, that's everything that's happening, He says this in verse 25. Luke 24, 25. And then He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. In other words, the Word. He calls them fools. Remember, the Bible defines a fool if somebody doesn't even believe God. Alright? So, he says, oh, fools. I mean, why are you being so unbelieving? He says, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. All of it. All of it is true. There's not anything in the Word of God that's not true. And so he's like, he's rebuking them. And he goes on in verse 26 and says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Notice verse 27. And beginning at Moses, that would be the book of Genesis. Alright? He says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. That means He went from Genesis all the way to the book of Malachi and explain to them everything concerning Himself. How He is the Lamb. The Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. He was what's been promised. We just had Christmas. We're understanding that they're talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. He's laying out all the prophecies dealing with Him from Genesis all the way to Malachi. He's expounding. That's what we're talking about. Expounding the Word of God. Explaining what's going on. And I want you to pick it up in verse 30. As they continue on, they come to their place where they're going to sit down and share a meal together. And they invite, at this time they still don't realize that it's the Lord Jesus Christ, but they invite Him in to say, and notice what this, and this is an incredible picture. In verse 30 it says, and it came to pass, still Luke 24 verse 30, and it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, sitting down to eat, He took bread and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. It's an awesome picture. I talked about water being a picture of the Word of God. Well, bread is a picture of the Word of God. When the Lord was tempted in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan comes and says, hey, why don't you turn these stones to bread? Jesus responds in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, also Luke chapter 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See, the bread represents the Word of God. And notice how He, as it says there again in verse 30, how He took the bread, He blessed the bread, and then He broke the bread. It's like He took the Word of God, He blessed it, He prayed over it, and then He broke it down to give it to Him, to them. He separated it out. He made it plain. He made it clear. He made it distinct. It's such a beautiful picture of what we need to do with the Word of God. God gives us His Word, we apply the Word of God to our lives, and then we bless it and break it down for others to be able to partake with it. Just reminded of this. It's great to have Andrew, our son here. His first airplane ride was when he was like 1 year old. Not even quite one. We went to, Trish and I was leading a team dealing with discipleship ministry down in Hammond, Louisiana. About 30 minutes or so, kind of north, whatever, of New Orleans. That was his first airplane ride. That was his first discipleship trip. And he had no idea what was going on. But the people that we're staying with, you know, they were holding Andrew on his lap and everything like that. And you know, they're feeding him. And then they gave him a piece of bread. But the bread was a little bit too big. I'm thinking, great. Our son's going to choke to death right here in Louisiana. Oh, my goodness. But everything turned out right, obviously, because he's here with us today. But the bite of bread was a little too much for him to handle at that age. It needed to be broken down a little bit more. Well, there are times, again, Christians, they're at all different kind of spiritual maturity. And some Christians, they need to take and have that bread to be broken down a little bit more for them to understand it. And that's what I'm talking about us doing this next year, is learning the Word of God for ourselves, to be able to apply the Word of God for ourselves, and to be able to bless it, to break it down and give to others. Now notice what happens here. Still in Luke chapter 24, you pick it up, then I'll read from verse 30 and move on. But it says, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Poof, poof, gone, just like that. But once they received the bread, their eyes were opened, they knew that it was Jesus. And that's the same thing that our country and our world needs today. It needs us believers, that are committed to the truth of the Word of God, to bless it, to break it, to give to people so that their eyes are open to what's truly going on and so they can know who Jesus is. You continue on here in verse 32. It says, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the Scriptures?" He gave the sense. He gave them knowledge. Understanding exactly what the Word of God says. And that's exactly what the church needs to be doing in 2021. That's what we need to be doing in 2021. Now, I got to get on some of those Christians a little bit. And you're like, "Charles, I thought you already were." But I need to do a little bit more. I want you to actually go to Hebrews chapter 5 real quick. Hebrews chapter 5. Again, I said that as believers, we're all at different stages of maturity. From being a babe in Christ to being mature. The problem is, when a baby Christian stays a baby Christian for years, and they never grow. Right? You can't survive or sustain that spiritually by just continuing to be on milk. Again, referencing my son, when he was a baby, that's all he needed was milk to grow thereby. As an adult, we'd be starving to death that our diet was just milk. All right, we need a little bit more sustenance than that. But as a baby, that's fine. And as babes in Christ, that's fine. You don't have the milk of the Word of God, the foundation, the simplicity, but you're supposed to, that grows you up so that you're able to have meat. To be able to, again, be able to be used, to be able to teach others the truth of the Word of God. Now, Paul is coming down on the Hebrews because they've been saying babes too long. In Hebrews chapter 5, I want you to look down and starting in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, it says this, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those whom by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." You think about a baby, they don't know the difference between what's good and evil, right? They don't have that. They're just, they have to grow, they have to learn. Well, the same thing works spiritually. And Paul is saying, for the time you ought to be teachers, you should be teaching the Word of God. You should be like an Ezra. You know, your heart's prepared, you're doing the Word of God, and you're ready to teach the Word of God. You should be teaching. But your state right now is that you need to have somebody teach you again the first principles, the first oracles. Paul doesn't only say that to the Hebrews, but he also says it to us in the dispensation of grace. And I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As you make your way to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this is a very carnal church. You guys know that. I made reference to it before. Every chapter, Paul is dealing with some issue, some problem that was going on in a church because of all their divisions and just really walking in the flesh. And that's exactly what we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to pick it up in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Dealing with carnal, in the flesh. A lot of babes in Christ, that's what they struggle with. They're still trying to walk in the Spirit, but they're in the flesh. I'm not saying that we all deal with that, but even more so far as being a babe in Christ. You're just starting out your walk with the Lord. And Paul is telling the Corinthians, it's like, I can't talk to you as spiritual. I should be able to by this point, but no, I got to talk to you as in carnal, as flesh, even as babes in Christ. Verse 2, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." He's like, I can't even teach you the real truth of the Word of God or the real meat and get into some doctrine. I can't go there because you're still being like babes. Right? And so I have to deal with you with still giving you milk when I should be giving you meat. He goes on in verse 3 and he says, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" And he goes on talking about their different divisions and everything that's happening and going on. And it's like, there are two really reasons why Christians stay babes in Christ. They don't have the heart, the desire to be able to grow. Like you see with Paul talking about the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 5. Or is just carnality, like we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Too busy walking the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and so they still stay babes in Christ. That's why sometimes it's like you see, it's like, well, I think this person is saved, but I don't know for sure because there's no evidence in their life. They're still walking according to the flesh. And it's like, that's not what God desires for. He wants us to take the Word of God and to apply it to our life and be able to be used of Him to teach others the truth. And that's my desire for 2021. If there's anything that our country needs, anything that believers need, everything the lost people need to get saved, we need the truth of the Word of God. We need to disseminate the truth of the Word of God. We can't just keep it to ourselves. We just can't act like the government's going to fix all the problems. I think we understand that by now. It's the truth of the Word of God that's going to make a difference in individuals' lives and can make a difference in our country. And people want to be attentive and apply the truth of the Word of God. You're still in 1 Corinthians. I want you to look back at chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll pick it up in verse 13 and verse 12. All right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll pick it up in verse 12. It says this, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." We can know it. He's given us His Spirit to teach us the Word of God. It's freely given to us. Not paid for. It's right here for us. And he goes on in verse 13 and says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." That's how we learn the Word of God, by comparing the Word of God with the Word of God. It is a spiritual book. Verse 14 says this, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." If you're going to come to the Word of God in your natural mind, thinking that you got it all figured out, You're not going to understand hardly anything. It's a spiritual book. And we need the Spirit of God to be able to teach us the Word of God. And here's my point. Again, do not believe the lie from Satan that says, well, this, you don't know enough, or you had to go off to a Bible college to be able to teach somebody the Word of God. I also don't want you to think that, well, he's talking about preaching and teaching the Word of God. I mean, I got to, you know, being up in front of a pulpit, up in front of a lot of people. No. It's a matter simply as this. You know, since 9/11, we live in the days, you know, they say, hey, if you see something, say something. That's what I'm talking about. You spend time in the Word of God, and God shows you something, you see something. When you have the opportunity, maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a co-worker. Maybe it's a fellow student. Who knows? Whoever it is. Maybe it's some acquaintance that you have on Facebook. Some long-lost high school person. I don't know. But you see something, you have the opportunity to open a door, what do? You say something. When we talk about preaching and teaching the Word of God, don't think of it just what Charles does on Sunday mornings. It's about your own personal relationship that you have with the Lord, and He is showing you things in the Word that you're trying to apply to your own life. And when you have opportunity with somebody in your life, that you say something. Hey, maybe this will help you out. Let me show you something that the Lord showed me in my time in the Word today. That's what we're talking about. I'm not trying to make it something that's complicated. You don't have to have 3 points in a poem or anything like that. No. The Lord shows you something in the Word of God. God gives you an open door in somebody's life to be able to share it. You say it. You share it. And that attitude of humility, not trying to beat somebody over the head with the Bible. Simply here, let me share you what something that the Lord has shown me. I want you to go back to Ezra. I need to pick up the last point. Not Ezra, excuse me. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. Nehemiah 8 verse 8. So they read in the book and the law of God distinctly. That's the communication. And gave the sense, that's explanation, and caused them to understand the reading. That's application. We're talking about causing them to understand the reading. We're talking about getting to a place of how do you apply the Word of God. I mean, all the Word of God is for you, and we talk about all the Word of God is not to you. I mean, that's where we're talking about rightly dividing. But all the Word of God is for you. There's no matter what book of the Bible that you're in, there is a spiritual application that you can apply. And it's like taking the Word of God and not just saying, here's the Word of God and that's it. But no, let me give you the sense and let me cause you to understand what we're talking about. How do you apply this to your life? All right, I'm sitting here talking to you about, hey, you know, doctrinally speaking, and we're going to show that we need to be ready to teach the Word of God. That's all of our responsibility. Again, study to show that self-approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. That verse is not just to a pastor. That's to every believer in Christ. We all have that responsibility. Now, I want to cause you to understand what we're talking about here, all right, and how to apply this. It's a matter of simply, as whatever that God shows you and that you understand, you apply that to your life, and again, that you're able to be ready to have an open door, you're ready to share it. Cause them to understand. Right? This is Ezra and the 100 people with him doing this. Think about it. How else would he be reaching all the captivity of the nation of Israel? Standing in a pulpit of wood for this purpose, how is he going to reach the masses and everybody that was gathered there to understand? He couldn't do it by himself. He had 100 people to help him do that and cause them to understand the reading. I want you to go over to Acts chapter 17 real quick. We're going to pick it up in verse 1. This is part of what they call Paul's second missionary journey. This is when the Word of God first goes to Europe. They start out, they saw the vision of a man of Macedonia and they went into Philippi. We studied the book of Philippians this past year. And now in Acts chapter 17, we're going to see that he's in the city of Thessalonica. In Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 1, we'll read down through verse 4, says this, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." So for 3 weeks, it says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Verse 2 and 3 literally sounds like the very same thing that Jesus did in Luke chapter 24 to those two guys on the road to Emmaus. Open the Scriptures and explain, expound it to them about who Jesus Christ and everything that he went through. And it goes on in verse 4, it says this, "And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few." Here you have is the founding of the church of the Thessalonians. Paul went in 3 weeks in a row,
opening and alleging the things of the Word of God. He gave the sense. He caused them to understand. And there were many that believed, and the church of Thessalonica was formed.
I want you to dip back into something that we've seen this year, real quickly, and that's Philippians chapter 4. Again, we talk about causing people to understand the Scriptures. Understand that you're going to be held accountable. All right? That the Word of God is here, not just as something that, okay, we're a church and we're called Christians, so I guess we've got to have a religious book and it's the Bible that we don't, you know, we carry it around, but we really don't read it. We really don't study it. We really don't believe it. No. This is the foundation of everything that we're talking about. It's the Word of God. That's what helps you in your walk with the Lord. That's why we understand everything that that the Lord would have for us to do. And you notice in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, again, this is just a review because we covered it this year, really recently. It says this, verse 9, chapter 4, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I spent a lot of time explaining that verse. I think we only preached that one particular verse when I did that. All right. And Paul is doing what? He's doing exactly what Ezra did. You know, Paul prepared his heart, you know, to receive the law of God, the Word of God. And he did it. It says it right here. Seen in me. So Paul wasn't about just saying one thing and doing another. What he preached, what he taught, is what he had applied in his life. And that's what gives him the authority to turn around and say, you know what? You need to do those things that I've taught you. Because I'm doing those things. That's where the real power and authority comes from when we're talking about teaching the Word of God. Here's what you need to understand. As I talk about so much, God wants to and can use you. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter what you know or don't know in the Word of God. It's a matter of just having an open heart, an open book. Allow God to teach you. Apply the Word of God that you know and understand to your life. And then just be ready for the open doors. Our vision for 2021 is simply this. Coming straight out of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Again, it doesn't mean that you have to be a Bible scholar to do this. It doesn't mean that you need to know Greek and Hebrew. No. All you need is your Bible. You have in English. All right? An open heart, open mind, open book. Be ready to apply the things that God shows you and to be ready to share when you have the opportunity to do so. And the book that we're going to go through to help us understand that in 2021 is the book of 1 Thessalonians. Kind of interesting, again, the cross reference that I have in Acts chapter 17 for Paul coming into Thessalonica for 3 weeks, opening and alleging, laying out the Word of God, and you see this church founded. Well, we're going to study that church in 2021. And we're going to see that they take the things, literally, that Paul says, and like in the sense of Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, the things that they learned, the things that they received, the things that they've seen, the things that they heard, to do it, that's exactly what we're going to see when we study 1 Thessalonians. We're going to see that there's a group of people that they themselves turned around and started teaching the Word of God, preaching the Word of God. And that's exactly, if you accept the challenge that I'm giving you for 2021, help me spread the truth of the Word of God. Let us learn together. Let's do our best to apply the Word of God and to be able to share it as God gives us opportunity. Because that's the only thing that's truly going to help us make it through the rest of 2020, even though we have like a week left, and going into 2021. We're going to face the same challenges that we've had in 2020 and 2021. And what's going to help us get through it? It's not going to be the government. It's not going to be whatever amount we get in a stimulus check or not. You know what's going to help us to get through it? Is a faith in God and His Word.
That's what's going to help us get through it. And not only just get through it, but as our last vision, this vision of 2020 has been to grow, allow us to grow through it all. There are other people that need to hear the word. The only reason why I'm standing here preaching today is because somebody 32 years ago took time out and shared the word of God with me. And I thank God that I heard and was attentive to the message. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And started going from there. Look, folks, I didn't get saved, you know, June 4th, 1988, and June 5th, 1988, understood everything I understand now about the Word of God, which is not much. I've been saved for 32 years. Tripping, falling, making mistakes, being a carnal Christian, but getting back up, opening up the Word of God, and continuing on. What I'm going to try to do is somehow convey my heart and love for this book. I love the Word of God. I love preaching and teaching the Word of God. That's what makes me tick. It really does. And I'm not expecting everybody to have that kind of desire. I'm not. But one thing is true is that every believer, God wants every believer to share what they know, to live what they know, and to share what you know. And I promise you, if you come to the Word of God like Ezra, you prepare your heart to receive it, you're trusting God to show you some things, you will learn some things. You will see some things. And God will give you the open door and the opportunity to be able to share with others. You know how I started learning a lot of stuff? At the time I got saved, it was after my freshman year in college at UMKC. Go Ruse. Go Ruse. Great school. Great mascot. I don't know why I even came up with the Kangaroos in the middle of Kansas City, Missouri as a mascot. But anyhow, go Ruse. But once I got saved, you know, I carried my Bible around. I didn't have to go ask people, hey, do you want to have a Bible study with me? People would see me have a Bible and they'd ask questions about it. That was my open door. There'd be times, and there was a lot of them, that they'd ask me questions. You know what? I didn't know the answer to. So that's a good question. I don't know. Let me get back with you. When I would study it out and give the answer that I knew. Did I make some mistakes? Did I get some things wrong? Oh, yeah, you betcha. Don't let, well, I haven't really read the Bible, to stop you from this vision this year of sharing the Word of God. Prepare your heart to learn it, to do it, to share it. Don't let, it's like, well, I'm not a good speaker. That was Moses. Oh, God, send somebody else. I'm not an eloquent speaker. God's not looking for eloquence. I'm not an eloquent speaker. He's looking for somebody for a heart, open heart, open book, ready to open the mouth to share. That's it. It's a matter of what you decide to do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you and praise you for your word. I thank you for all that you have shown us. There's so much that we could learn and continue to understand out of Ezra and out of Nehemiah chapter 8. It's amazing that when you continue on in Nehemiah 8, and you read past verse 8, that the people were actually mourning after they understood the words of the book. But then Ezra and the people that were with him that were teaching say, hey, don't, it's not time to cry. It's not time to mourn. It's time to be happy. And it ended up that the people left after hearing the Word of God and understanding it. And again, in a sense, they were happy. And the reason why they were happy? Because they understood the Word. Father, my prayer is that you help us to prepare our hearts for your Word. That we be dedicated on a regular basis to spend time in your Word. Help us to understand it. Help us to apply it to our lives. And then help us to be used of you to share the truth of your word with others so they too can be happy because they understand the words of your book. Help us to not be like Moses in a sense and putting a veil over our face and keeping the truth to ourselves and being ashamed of the truth of the word of God. No. In a time, in a world, in a country that they don't want us to be in church. They don't want us to meet. They don't want us to, they don't want to hear the Word of God. They want to take God and the Word out of everything. Let's not let that hinder us, Lord. Let that encourage us to stand on the truth, to live the truth, and to share the truth. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.